you got your Bibles, remain standing and turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 30 this evening. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. It says, "What shall we say then? The Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled, and at that stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" Verse 10 and chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all of us is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Brother Michael, would you pray for us, please?
Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and we pray you would bless the reading of the word, Lord. You open the word to us, and you speak to Brother Kelly in a clear manner, Father God, that we might understand more fully who you are, what your expectations are of us. We speak that in peace.
Amen. You may be seated. We find here in the scripture where Paul is talking to the Romans, and he finds a nation, to the Israelites, and he finds a nation here that for centuries has been looking for a Messiah. They had known the Old Testament prophecies and practiced the law to the fullest extent, even what they put into it. But when Jesus came, they rejected him. Paul finds that they did not see themselves to have a need for salvation. The law was working just fine. You see, they were zealous for God. They weren't zealous for a Messiah, but they were zealous for God. How many of you find yourselves in that spot? That you're zealous for God. See, Israel did not find themselves in the need to be zealous for the Messiah, but they were zealous for God. Also, he finds a nation that was prideful and self-righteous, misunderstanding the laws and traditions that they had attached to it. We find him in verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, "My desire, my heart's desire, is that Israel would be saved." How many of your desire right now is for the nation we lived in to be saved? As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, your answer should be standing up shouting, "Yes, I want this nation to be saved." Because you see, there's nothing that's going to help us unless people turn to Christ and accept him who he is. And Paul knew that. And he's telling Israel this: "My desire is for you to be saved. My desire is not for you to have a zeal that's just above and beyond for God, and to do the things of the law and the traditions and everything that you practice. That's not my desire, for you to just hang on to that. But my desire is for you to have a zeal for God's righteousness. Not anything that you can do of yourself." And Paul laid that out. He said, "Look, guys, live by grace, not by the law." And that's what all of us should embrace. I'm just going to tell you, every one of you, including myself, is a sinner. And you're dying and going to hell if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And Paul said, "Look, Israel, You're dying, you're going to hell. Because you've embraced the law so much that that's all you're holding on to. Embrace the Messiah. Know who He is. Romans 10:4, it says this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." The law, these are the standards you live by. Christ, this is the blood that gives you life. That's what He says. He is the end of the law for all who believe. And so the Israel sitting there in their self-righteous attitude and their self-righteous ability and everything that they can do, they didn't have Paul's desire. Paul's desire for them was to be saved, but Israel's desire was this, to establish their own righteousness. So say that I got it planned, and I've got it worked out, and I'm good. Because if they weren't saying that, they'd have said, that's the Messiah, that's the one we've been looking for centuries, and here He is. But they didn't. And they're still not doing that. Israel's desire was not to submit to the righteousness of God. Think back in your life, before you became a Christian. How long was it before you submitted to the righteousness of God? How long did you run from God? How long did He stand at your heart's door and knock and say, look, you can't get there by yourself. You can't get there by doing all these things. The only way you can get there is by Me. And He still does that now. He stands at the door and He knocks. And He says, look, I put an end to all the foolishness. I'm the Messiah. And in verse 8 of chapter 10, it says this, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. That is the word of faith that we preach. Faith, not works. And Paul made that painfully clear to them. That this is how it happens. We confess with our mouth. The word that I've given you, it's right there in front of you. We confess it with our mouth. And it's in our heart. And the more I read this week, the more just faith started nailing me. It just right there. You know, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I don't know how many times I forget what faith actually is and how near it is to me. You know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? How near is faith to you? How near is it? Simple thing I was telling Brother Michael a while ago. Some of y'all know I officiate high school sports, and we have to send in money every year. I don't know why we have to send in money to make money, but Brother Greg knows. But it's time. It's that time of year to send that in. And I told Sonia yesterday, I said, don't let me forget. I've got to send that in by July 1st or it doubles. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to pay that? It's not much, but I'm just trying to figure out money and what we're going to do. And I get home, and in the mail, I'd gone and helped out a buddy a couple of weeks ago and went and worked a couple of hours at a basketball camp. Just running up and down the court floor, not really doing anything. And my dues are going to be somewhere around $80 for two sports that I do. Maybe a little bit more. I had a $75 check in the bank. Right there in my mailbox. God provides. You know, that's, you say, well, Kelly, that's just, no. I have faith in God. That not only is He going to provide money, but He's going to provide everything that I need. And that's faith. He provides life. That's the biggest thing that I am putting all of my faith in Him in, is life. I don't care about monetary needs. Yes, it's fun and necessary to have to raise four kids. But I don't really care. I'm depending on Him for eternity and for the life that He gives in that. Now, we look back at the Israel's desire. And see, they kept looking at the Gentiles as being put to shame because Paul had taken the gospel to the Gentiles, and what did the Gentiles do? They accepted it. Israel was like, no. But the Gentiles did. In verse 33 it says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. You see, they thought that it was a shameful thing to turn back against the law. But it's not. It's not a shameful thing to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, that's what the world wants you to believe. The world wants you to believe that once you give your life and your heart to Christ, that you're worthless, that you're no good, that you're weak. And they just want to put you aside and call shame on you. You see, that's not what happens. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is no more worth that you have that you can ever come up with. We have become something of worth. We have become an heir to His riches. And we're not put to shame. Not at all. In verse 32 it says, because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. You see, they didn't pursue the law of righteousness. They stumbled because they did not seek it in faith. And I'm afraid that's what's happening to us. Whether we're in this church, whether we're looking out for our own self a lot of times, and we're stumbling over that, and we're not looking for the things God has for us. And I know that's what's happening in America. They don't care about God. It's evident. Even you stand up on a national stage and say, God is righteous, God is the Messiah, believe on God, He is the only path to righteousness. People will laugh at you. People will start calling you names. And Israel's desire was not to be that. They did not want anybody to look at them and say, you're not good enough. But we see in here, we saw Paul's desire and we saw Israel's desire, but God has a desire for each one of you.
Amen.
And here's God's desire for you. God's desire is that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no greater desire that you do that. Why is there no greater? He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to come and die for you, that you would have that right and that opportunity to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. The second part of His desire is to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And if you don't believe that, look at verse 9. That's where it's coming from. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You know, it's not enough that He sent His Son to come and die, but that God is powerful enough to raise His Son back again, to believe that He raised Him from the dead. And God's desire is this: with the heart one believes to righteousness. With the heart one believes to righteousness. My heart is very deceitful. It sends me down paths that I don't need to be on. But with my heart I can believe in God's righteousness. And that path is straight. And if I stay on it, man, what benefits it holds. And the last thing it says, with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you find yourself and you haven't been there yet, where you have not done these things, with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you haven't done that yet in your life, tonight's a great opportunity for you to do that. You see, a belief in Jesus Christ will not put you to shame. There is no distinction between the Greek or the Jew. There's no distinction between a white man, a black man, or any other kind of man that you want to say. We are all the same. And with confession of the mouth, we all have the same opportunity. The same Lord is over all of us. Not just over one of us. Not just over the members of Victory. The same Lord is over everybody on this earth. The problem is, some of us have accepted that and some of us haven't. And one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ephesians 1:7, I love this. In Him we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. Man, I don't know how that is. I don't know how much that is. Brother Michael, do you know how much riches that is? I have no idea. but it's according to the riches of His grace that I live by every day, that I'm still alive today because of His grace. Amen. You can ask my father. Probably don't do it right now, but you can ask my father sometime all the things that he knows that I've done in my life, that he probably wanted to wear me out to the point of not ever doing them again. He tried. But there's a lot of things there that I did that I didn't deserve God's grace for. And same is for you. Things you've done in your life, you don't deserve God's grace. But that's why it's called grace. And because of His riches, I'm going to live. Verses 6 through 7 of chapter 10, it says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, who will bring Christ down from above? Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead." No, we make no distinctions, just like Israel. The who, the what, and the how it happens. We can't determine. We can't go get Christ. We can't bring Him here. We can't determine how it happens. The who was Jesus Christ. It's come for each and every one of us. The who is you. The what, He came for salvation, so that you can be saved. How righteousness happens, it's not for me to determine what your heart is in relationship with God. It's for God and you to determine. What's your relationship with God? The Word says this: "There is righteousness for everyone who believes." In verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the righteousness, end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes." What will you do with that today? What is your desire? That's what it boils down to. What is your desire? Israel's desire was, leave me alone. I'm working right here. I'm doing this. Paul's desire was that all of Israel be saved. And God's desire is that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He was raised from the dead by God the Father. What is your desire? Is your desire to stay on the same path that you're on now? The path that's leading you to hell? Is your desire to stay closer walking with God on that path since you've accepted Him as your personal Savior? What is your desire tonight? As Dale comes, I'm going to give you an opportunity. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hard part's been done. The shame and reproach that the Israelites were afraid of was taken by the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He took all that shame. He took all the things that we would have to suffer. And He gladly took them so that you could be saved. As we stand tonight and we sing, Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for allowing us to come to Your house tonight, to open up Your Word and to look at Your desire for our lives. That we may look and see that the simplest thing of just confessing of who we are and of accepting who You are, Father, that will change our condition from being lost to being a heart that's searching after and following Your lead. Father, I love You, and I thank You for all that You've done. In Your name I pray.